Song of Solomon in the 8th chapter. I want to preach on make haste, my beloved. Reading verse 14 out of chapter 8. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to a roe or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices. Looking into the Song of Solomon, I've been studying this book for about 3 months now, and it is an incredible book of Song of Solomon and his bride, the Shulamite. And one thing that's totally beautiful about it is picture of Christ in the church. You need to get some historical background about this. I believe this is a historical account of when Solomon went down into the far country of Galilee and met the Shulamite in Shulam, and he fell in love with her. And now in chapter 8, it has come to the point where he has to return back to his kingdom, and one day he has made a promise that he will come back for his beloved. And one thing that we need to look at is the maturity of the relationship while he was with them. Let's look at verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. That little phrase right there, I raised thee up under the apple tree, is referring to chapter 2, whenever they first fell in love, whenever they first came into intimate relation with one another. And one thing about a relationship is that there's a maturity as it grows. You grow deeper into the relationship. You get to know one another. One of the blessings that this shows is the communion that we can have with the Lord. One where we grow deeper and deeper with the Lord, and it grows sweeter and sweeter in the by and by. This relationship, you can just tell by, if you read it, just the maturity and the growing, and the deeper they go into their relationship when they get to know one another and figure out who they are with each other and who each other is. And it's a beautiful picture of fellowship with Christ. And one thing about prayer is that it just don't have to be asking and asking and asking. It can be sweet fellowship and communion with our Lord and Savior, Lord. One thing we need to understand is that Adam, whenever he was created, God and Adam had communion with each other in the cool of the evening. One thing is interesting is that the Garden of Gethsemane was a place that the Lord Jesus went and had fellowship with God, because it said that he often resorted there, and that we can grow deeper and deeper and deeper. One of the greatest things that's happened in this quarantine is that I've been waking up early as I can to meet with my Lord and Savior and grow deeper and deeper with Him, and just to get to know Him better and get to have fellowship with Him. Because this is not a religion. This is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have fellowship with Him, for He desires to be with us. James said, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to us. We need to have sweet communion with our Lord and Savior, because that's all He desires from us. Sometimes you just go away in your closet and have sweet communion with Him. One other thing about this is the love that they share with one another. Look at verses 6 and 7. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most fervent flame. One thing about the departure of her beloved Solomon is that she's saying here is that the love that we built between each other will keep us together no matter how separated we are. Paul said in Romans that he said, who can separate us from the love of Christ? And he went through 17 things and said that none of these can separate us from the love of Christ. The love of Christ is from everlasting to everlasting. Paul said, it constraineth me. The love of Christ constraineth me. And she's saying that this love is strong as death. It has such a tight grip on her. It holds on to her in a tight, very tight pull on her, that it controls her every motion. She longs to be with her beloved. She can't wait to be with him for the love that they have shared. And one of the last chapters, she said, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. One of the beautiful things that she recognizes the love that she has from Solomon. This Shulamite, this poor Shulamite woman who came from Lower Galilee, who was supposed to keep her vineyard, who was a poor young lady who fell in love with this king It makes no sense to hear about a king falling in love with a young lady who is poor as she was. But the love of Christ looked down at us, and he that was rich became poor for our sakes, and that we might become rich. Oh, the love of Christ. Jude said before the second coming of the Lord, keep yourself in the love of God. One last thing is this, is the longing for her bridegroom. The longing for her bridegroom. One thing that this bride can make sure of is that her beloved will come back. And the reason why she is saying, make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to arrow her young heart, because she wants him to come back swiftly. She wants him to come back as fast as she can. It's almost saying, at the end of Revelation, what John the Revelator said, even so come, Lord Jesus. And oh, the blessed day when we should be able to see our Savior. We walk and we talk with him all the days of our life. We try to grow sweeter and sweeter fellowship with him till we can't grasp the day to where we can see our beloved face to face. And oh, shall we ever be with the Lord? Oh, what a day that will be when we can just see our Savior and spend all of eternity with him. Oh, bless the day that will be, that we'll be able to see our Savior, and that one day we'll be able to put off this robe of flesh and put on a king's robe. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. Thank the Lord. What a day that will be. Yes, sir. Oh, we'll be able to see our beloved as who he is, the bride and king. Oh, bless the Lord. He came down to where we was, but one day we'll be able to go where he is. Forever we will be with the Lord. Even so come the bridegroom. Even so come. Amen. Oh, I'm looking for that day. And look, if you look at verse 8, he says, we have a little sister. She hath no breast. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? Oh, bless the day when we get to hear that trumpet sound and he says, come up hither, and we get to finally leave this place. Oh, my goodness. The places that she was, she said, I could not keep my own vineyard. The vineyards that were there, they were beautiful, but they are not compared to the glory that she's going to experience one day. And all the glory that we're going to experience one day. This world is not our home, and bless Lord that one day we'll be with our King, we'll be with our bridegroom, him that we loveth. Make haste, my beloved. Even so come, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. And glad with all everything that he's done for me. If he didn't do nothing else for me. One thing he did do is he saved my soul from hell. And I'm glad to know that I'm saved. And I'm heaven bound with my name written down. I praise the Lord for what he's done. Y'all turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord be in my help. I'm going to preach on one thought. The Good Shepherd. Psalm 23. Now, I would not be shocked if most of y'all, or if not all of y'all, got Psalm 23 memorized. It is slammed, packed with truth. And I'm glad that the Word of God is truth. Amen. The King James Bible is the Word of God. You can't prove to me that all these other so-called Bibles are Bibles when it's not even God's Word, because man cannot do anything. But what God's done in this Word and throughout history is His Word, the King James Bible. I'm going to begin in verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to preach on verse number 1, and that's my text. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, God is our shepherd. And he is the good shepherd. He is the only shepherd. And he leads the sheep. I'm glad that we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I'm glad that the word of God says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor begging bread. Jesus, the good shepherd, the best shepherd, and he will never, ever lead his flock wrong. He is the only way to turn to. He is the only one that we can depend on, that he would always be there for us. I'm glad that he's our shepherd. He never leaves us nor forsake us. He goes with us always, even unto the end of the world. And he said he will never leave us nor forsake us. And I'm glad he never would forsake us. And he is the shepherd. He is the reigning King of glory, victor over death. And he has the keys of hell, death, and the grave. He did what no man could ever do. And when he died on that cross for our sins, he died for the sins of the whole entire world. He died in my place, that I should have been on that cross. And I should have been beaten and had the crown of thorns placed on my head because of my sin. But he died for the sins of the whole world. And that's what the good shepherd did for us. He died for the sins of the whole entire world. And I'm not going to ask you to turn, but I'm going to be in the book of John, chapter number 10, and I'm going to read all these 10 verses. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and his sheep heareth his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Amen. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Aren't you glad that you know his voice? Aren't you glad that he speaks to you clear from his word? Aren't you glad that he loves you? Hey man, I'm glad. I'm really glad that he loves me. Hey man, I'm glad that he leads me. Hey man, I'm glad he's not one time I've let him down, but not one time ever has he ever let me down. Not ever has, and he never will. Hey man, I'm glad that we can trust him. For he is the great high priest. Hey man, the great shepherd, the great physician. Hallelujah. He is altogether lovely. Hallelujah. And I'm glad that he helps us. And bless God, he heals us. He is in the miracle working business. And I'm so glad that we can depend on him. And bless God, we can trust him. Bless his holy name. Amen. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am," I love this, "I am the door of the sheep." He's just on the other side of that door. He's just on the other side. And he is the door. He is the resurrection. Amen. Let him come. Amen. To have ears to hear, let him hear. And let them come. Jesus will be right there on the other side of the door to welcome you in and to sup with you, and you with him, and he with you. Amen. I'm glad he is the door of the sheep. He is the door of the sheep. I hear it is again. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad when the Holy Ghost came unto you? Aren't you glad that the Holy Ghost made it real? It was introducing you to Christ and drawing you to Christ, and Christ coming into your heart. Amen. When you called on the Lord out of a pure heart, oh, you turned your heart towards God. You turned your heart towards Him. And you get serious with Him. And He'll get serious with you. Amen. That night when He saved me, He made it real into my heart, into my life. And He's been in my life ever since that day. And I'm glad. I'm glad to know that I'm saved. Amen. I'm glad to know that I'm saved. Amen. I know where I'm heading to. And I'm going to where He is. John chapter 14. Hallelujah. John 14. It didn't say rooms. It said mansions. Amen. He said mansions. Not rooms. Not doors. But mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Ain't God good to us? He's so good to us. Verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Pay attention, the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. For the child of God, he'll do anything to tear us apart and get our eyes off God and cause us to backslide and believe that God does not care, God, and God does not exist. Best thing to do, give your problems to God, keep your eyes on Jesus, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Don't let him come into your house, because the devil is real. Hell, he's real as he's ever been. Back over there in Genesis, I believe, Genesis chapter number 3. And he's just as real today, just like he was in Adam's day, just like he was in Eve's day. It's like it was in Lot's day and Job's day. He's just as real now. But I'm telling you, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I believe that's 1 John 4:4. This is what I want to get to. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Give your life to Jesus. I promise you, he'll never lead you wrong. And he'll lead you into everlasting fountains of water. I believe that's in Revelation 7:17. God bless you and stay faithful to God.
1 John 4:18. Listen closely. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Love is the very heartbeat of the Christian life. Love is the very fulcrum. It is the very center at which all the planets of Christianity orbit. It is the love of Jesus Christ. It is that thing of which Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha, which is being interpreted. If any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be accursed, let him be damned, our Lord cometh. And that sounds like mighty severe language, and it is. And it is very divisive on purpose. The test of your Christianity is love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is love in John 14 and 15. He that loveth me keepeth my commandments. And it is love in the life of Peter that transformed that man from a coward into a man of God. It is this great love of Christ that has the power to send you out of this parking lot a completely different person today. If it so grips your heart and gets a hold of you deep down in the deep recesses of your soul that no man and no woman can get to, there is no program that can reach down into the deep well of your soul like the love of Jesus Christ. It is the love that drove Him to Calvary. It is the love that pressed Him out of measure in the Garden of Gethsemane. It is the love of Jesus Christ that changed the disciples from a bunch of scared Boy Scouts in Matthew 26 as they saw their Lord pressed out of measure and sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. And it is this great love of Jesus that has held and cradled me since the day I met Him. And it is this love of Christ that can so change you today and send you forth and into the world, just like the apostles went and turned this world upside down. It has not lost its power and its fervor. This love of Jesus has infinite potential to men and women in coronavirus infested and infected 2020 in America to send us out and make us who we need to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the only reason that I'm still here. I am a recipient of that mercy and that love. And all I know to do in 10 minutes is to talk about it and brag upon it. This love of Jesus is stronger than death. Death could not hold Him. The love of Christ, nothing could have held Him back from getting up out of that grave. Mark chapter 14. I am amazed that in this chapter, you see all the disciples, starting in verse 46, you see all the disciples, despite what they just said, and I believe it's Matthew 23, when Peter said, "They'll all forsake you, they'll all be offended in you, I will not be offended." And all the disciples agreed in that moment that they would not flee, that they would not run, that they would stand fast with the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it come down to it, and the Lord Jesus Christ was pressed out of measure, verse 46, they laid their hands on Him and took Him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. We know that's Peter. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Are you come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." And in a moment, all the disciples, the oaths that they had taken, in a moment they were crushed. And they all forsook Him and fled. Peter, James, and John, when they had their opportunity to die for the Lord Jesus Christ, they ran. I have to ask myself, and I have to ask every one of you, if it come down time to die, and persecution may very well be coming, if it come down time to die and time to stand against whoever and whenever, would you stand for Jesus Christ? Is there enough Holy Ghost power and backbone and love of Jesus Christ burning in your heart to keep you standing? I fear myself in the day that I'm pressed out of measure. Oh, but I know there's grace. There's grace upon grace. There's grace greater than my sin. There is grace for every believing child of God. There is more love for every single child of God that would go to the cross and fling yourself down at His feet and just do everything you can to call out for more love and more power. That's all we need. They all forsook the Lord Jesus Christ in His agony and in His pain. Turn to John chapter 21 and I'll be finished. John chapter 21. We'll start in verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, "I go a fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with thee." Peter was always a leader. He had that personality and he had that zeal and that fire. And wherever he went, the disciples went with him. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. News flash for Simon Peter and everyone at Morningstar Baptist Church. When you leave off doing what God's called you to do, God's in control of your life. God is in control of the fish. God is in control of every nail drove. God is in control of every letter written on paper. God is in control of every number figured. He's in control of your life. And upon Peter's failure, and in the face of such devastation, the Lord Jesus Christ betrayed unto death by Judas. And Peter was a traitor too. Make no mistake about it. But the difference between Peter and Judas is that Peter had just a little bit. He had just a mustard seed's worth. And here he was, washed up and a failure. Just like I feel sometimes. A failure. And around every corner, Peter had met with failure. He said, I'm going back to do what I know to do. I'm going fishing. But oh, Jesus. You would think he would restart. He would pick a new group of disciples. He did not pick another group. He restarted the same failures. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61. He came for the brokenhearted. And he came for the failure. Just like Stephen Calloway. Hallelujah. That's why I'm still here. And in closing, verse 15 of John 21. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, oh, can you see what's going on here? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Simon, he always called him Simon when he was acting like his old self. Simon, do you love me more than fishing? Simon, do you love me more than weights and fishing poles and a fishing boat? I thought you loved me, Simon. You remember what he said to him in the garden? Simon, are you sleeping? Simon, do you love me? And Peter, no doubt crushed, he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. I did not call you to go back to do what you used to do. I called you to be a fisher of men. I have lambs that need you. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. He was found out. Do you agape me, Peter? Do you love me in an absolute, unconditional way? Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Let me interpret that for you. It might not be obvious to my friends. It might not be obvious to the people around me. But Lord, you know all things. What I have isn't a whole lot. It's barely even worth mentioning, but it's real. It's real. I really do love you. You remember my text verse? He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Do you see the process Jesus put him through? Through a failure, running back to what he used to do. I feel that I've been put through the same process, and no doubt I will be plunged deeper. But every child of God will be able to say on that day, just like Peter, and just like Stephen Calloway, and just like you if you're saved by the grace of God, I am a trophy of God's grace. I am a trophy of that love of Jesus that would restart a failure in a brokenhearted man just like me. I don't know where you are, but every single person in this parking lot has doubts and fears. And the Bible says, and the Bible calls every one of us to be made perfect in the love of God, to keep ourselves in the love of God, to strive to know something more of that prayer in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. To be rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus, that you might know something of the length and the depth and the breadth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. It is a mighty love. It is a zealous love and a consuming fire. And it's available to anyone that will call upon Him in simple faith. Amen.